Hello once again. My name is Peter Woodbury, and I'm with Reflections, the Wisdom of Edgar Cayce. Today we have the privilege of interviewing Kim O'Neill. She's an angel communicator, a psychic medium, and the author of several interesting books, including the one that I'm holding here. So I'm looking forward to this interview. She's a regular speaker here at ARE and will be here soon. So join me as we talk with Kim O'Neill. Hi, Kim. How are you? Thank you so much for coming on our show.
Hey, Peter. I am so excited to be here. And I have to tell you that you are like a superstar. Whenever I talk to clients, they say, oh, my gosh, Kim, have you had a hypnosis session, a regression session with Peter? He is amazing, the best ever. So I'm just thrilled to be here and to have the opportunity to talk with you. And when I come to Virginia Beach, I'd love to have a regression. So you are amazing. Your reputation is everywhere.
Oh, thank you. Kim, are you single? No, I'm just kidding. Thank you for the praise. I'll shout back at you that I have gotten a lot of referrals from you, people that have worked with you, and they've been very, very happy, and they've come. So thank you for doing that for me also.
I'm such a huge advocate for hypnosis. And what it can do is phenomenal, just across the board with our health and with how we look at life and how we can use it to calm ourselves. And of course, you would be much more articulate about it, but I can't say enough wonderful things. And about you conducting it, it makes a big difference who conducts the hypnosis. Mm. I've learned that. So anyway, thank you very much.
Thank you. Yes, you know, I think that one of the things I try to teach for when I teach the class here in hypnosis is that the rapport, you know, the trust that it needs to exist between the person and the feeling of safety. So I hope that I do that. You know, I have a clinical background, so I've worked with a whole range of folks, and you know, you hear a lot of stories, and so you're able to. I feel like my work has helped my consciousness be big enough to hold people in whatever they are experiencing. So I try to teach that.
I think those of us that are spiritual teachers, I think that we really can relate to the whole idea of someone we're serving feeling safe with us.
Yes.
Either they don't know us. It's a matter of helping acknowledge them, recognize them. And I always share with folks, you know, I am serving you. And I think there's certain things that we can acknowledge that we truly feel genuinely that helps people feel more at ease and more, not only at ease and safe, but open and excited about what they could possibly learn or gain or, you know, teach us for that matter.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell me or tell us a little bit about your work is it predominantly with angels, with your angels and then the client's angels, and then they give you messages that you share with the person that's with you?
Exactly. And so, what I do, I channel, which means that I communicate with spiritual beings, which could be guardian angels, which could be departed loved ones, which could be unborn babies. Mm-hmm. So in a session, what I do is, first of all, I get someone's name, you know, the first name they go by, mm-hmm. and their age. I use that for timeline purposes. Mm-hmm. And I know we all work differently. And I get their location. They could be in, you know, Paducah, Kentucky, or Poughkeepsie, New York, wherever, Manila, the Philippines, wherever they happen to be. And then I will connect with their soul energy. So I quickly am engaging with their soul's memory bank. So I'm able to access information about who they are, why they're here, about past lifetimes. And so I connect with them in that way. And that takes just a moment or two. And then I ask them what their priorities are, because that's really important. Mm-hmm. I'm a big believer in setting goals. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting to open the floor and just find out what our angels, you know, want to share with us. But we typically have priorities mm-hmm. that we want to address mm-hmm. that are front of mind right at this time. So when I conduct a session, I do mediumship, but I really love communicating with guardian angels. And everyone has different guardian angels. They have a different number of them. There is always a reason why our angels are working with us at any given time. And so it's such a fascinating process. I've been doing this over 30 years. And every single day is like a new adventure. It's so, everything is so unexpected. And I probably, like you, I never wanted to work in a box. In other words, I wanted to do something really different and something that I would always love and stay enthusiastic about. And I found it. So,
you know, you mentioned the two cities you mentioned. You mentioned Paducah, Kentucky. And I have just finished that for the past 2 years, about every couple of months, I was flying in and out of Paducah. And I had never heard of Paducah, Kentucky until, you know, it's about an hour away from Hopkinsville, which is where Edgar Cayce was born. And so I have it was just very synchronistic and psychic that you would just mention Paducah. How did that come to you?
It just popped in my head.
Just popped in your head.
Telepathically.
Okay. Yeah. So it's not like you're from there or you have a client from there or anything like that.
No, I'm from Chicago.
Okay.
So, but thank you for asking. Isn't that funny?
It is it is very funny. You know, sometimes in my interviews, there's always a temptation to say, well, tell me more about me. And then, you know, kind of get completely sidetracked. But how did you get connected with Edgar Cayce? Like, what's the backstory there?
You know, it was years ago, and I was asking my husband about that the other day. And I remember going to the ARA here in Houston when it was open and asked them if they would carry my books. I wasn't published with Fourth Dimension yet. And I started, you know, reading some of Mr. Cayce's work. And I thought, gosh, this is incredible. This is fascinating. And so I was already working as a channel and I had already published two books. And I just started reading and reading and just became utterly fascinated. And my husband said, well, why don't you call them in Virginia Beach and ask them if they would be interested in not only carrying your books there, but perhaps you could speak. And it was some years ago, and speaking, I used to be a very shy person. And so speaking.
Wow, how'd you change?
Lots of work.
Yeah.
And hypnosis.
Oh,
but lots of work. And you know, Peter, you know what I found? I believe that if you have a fear, was it Eleanor Roosevelt who said, you have to be engaged in at least one of your fears every single day, which can be very daunting, at least for me.
Yeah.
So, and my angels kept telling me, Kim, you're going to speak. You're going to speak. And I don't know if you've ever done this, when you feel prompted angelically or, you know, divinely to do something, and it's something that scares the willies out of you. Have you ever had that experience? Or
yeah, there's something going on. I don't know what's going on for me the last couple months, but it just seems like there's a heightened kind of synchronicity, and there's just a heightened kind of, you know, manifesting of thoughts and wishes. So I've always noticed it, but it just seems like it's accelerated.
Oh, that's awesome.
It is awesome.
So you putting intent out in the universe and then receiving.
Yes.
Oh, and you know what's fascinating? A lot of folks have some confusion about this, and it took me a while to figure this out. When we ask for help from our angels, it's always there. Mm-hmm. It's always there. But we ask for the help we think we need at the time, but we don't always get the help that we need. We always get the help, but we get what we really need to have that will be for our best benefit. Yeah.
Yeah, so. I know what you mean, because at those times I hear the Rolling Stones, you know. You don't always get what you want, but you get what you need.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So back to Edgar Cayce, and how did this gift manifest for you? Like, was it something you had your whole life? Did your parents support it? Like, you know, there's always like a coming out kind of, you know, I'm here, I'm angelic, you know, get over it. Like, what was that process for you?
Oh, I'm still coming out in different places.
Yeah.
I think maybe that's a lifelong process. Mm-hmm. Yes. Based on who you happen to be at that time, because I look at every day as sort of a new opportunity to grow and expand. And, you know, often it's little teeny steps, but sometimes we have those big jumps. My experience when I was a kid, I grew up in a very dysfunctional household. And my dad, and I wrote a little bit about it in the calling. And I'll real briefly, my dad was an alcoholic and he was abusive to my mom. And my mom was kind of clinging. And I mean, no disrespect to my parents. They were awesome teachers. I'm so lucky to have them. And so I started, there was this huge amount of stress and I saw my dad attack my mom. And it was very traumatic for me. And I started having these dreams and they were so real, so vivid, they terrified me. Dreams where I would see people, I didn't even know what it meant. People killing one another, assaults, kidnappings, fires, all kinds of things. And I'd wake up, I was kind of a studious kid. I was a nerdy kid. And I'd read, first thing I'd do in the morning is read the Chicago Tribune, and I would see that they had a story about what I just dreamt about. And it would astonish me. So that went on, and I didn't say anything to anybody. And I thought everybody, you know, kids always think what they experienced pretty much. So I got to be in my teens and I thought, this is, you know, I'm not sleeping and this is depressing. So I remember saying to myself, I really don't want to do that anymore. And I kept saying that as like a mantra. So the dream stopped and then my intuitiveness was derailed. And some years later I was in a nasty marriage and had gotten a divorce, and I'm not giggling because anything's funny, but I had gotten a divorce and was still working with my ex-husband. Yes, it was a very exciting time. And so one day I was sitting at my desk and I just burst into tears. And you know, we're running this company, it's going bankrupt, and there, everything was going wrong. My health was okay, but everything was going wrong. And I left the marriage with nothing. So, but I had, you know, my sanity intact, which there's a lot to be said for that. So I'm at my desk and I'm weeping and I was just, help, I just need help. And I wasn't even asking anyone in particular. I mean, who would I have asked? I didn't know. And that night when I got home, I got my typical Chinese carry out and went home with my cat, Winston. So I'm sitting on the couch and I just turned on the Thin Man movie and I was in my little tiny apartment and movement caught my eye. And I look over and I was a really anal girl. I mean, this was so unusual for me. And I look over and there is the manifestation of this man. And he looked like a young Alec Baldwin. He was dressed in 19th century clothing. Looked like a businessman, was very well dressed, and he just stood there. And I thought I had a nervous breakdown. I thought, working with my ex-husband, this had to have done in advertising, no less. Now I've done it. I should have gone to therapy. And my cat Winston got up and ran over to him and started just kind of being cozy with him. And I thought, okay, so Winston can see him too, but how can I feel reassured because my cat sees something? That's reassuring to me. But it was at the time. And then this apparition started speaking with me. And he told me his name was John Reed and that he had worked with me when I was a little girl as one of my guardian angels. And he said, you don't remember? And I said, no. And how is this even happening? How are you talking to me? And I said, you're like a ghost. Ghosts don't talk to people. And he said, you've been misinformed. And I said, no, it's so he kept talking to me and it became reassuring somehow. And I was scared to death. So he said, I'm going to stay with you. And what you're going to do, you've asked for help. They sent me. So what's going to happen is that you're going to move out of the advertising agency and you are going to become a psychic. And so I thought, now I really need therapy and medication, because a psychic, I thought psychics, you know, were these people who created, you know, animal byproduct packages to ward off curses or something. And I'm not just anyone who believes in that. But I was so closed and so blocked and so scared and so angry. So it took him a while to kind of shoehorn his way into my trust, but he would follow me everywhere. And he would say, this is what's going to happen next. And then it would. And then he'd say, no, this is going to happen. And it would. So that built my trust. And he said, it's time for you to share information with other people. And I said, I can't do that. Everything he asked me to do, I would say, I can't do that. And he'd say, well, you can't do it now, but you'll learn how to do it. You'll never move forward if you don't get out of your comfort zone. And that was, the thought was so absurd and ridiculous to me about sharing information. We still have a joke in my family between my husband and myself, because I shared this with him. I met him many years later. But the first time I shared information with someone, Peter, John was standing next to me and nobody could see him but me. Sometimes kids could see him. Mm-hmm. Kids, Mom, look at that. That's a spirit. It was awesome.
Wow.
And the parents would be, oh, you know, Johnny, just be quiet. Stop making things up. So there was this man who worked in my little apartment complex. And John, my angel, it was his wonderful idea for me to share a message with him. So, and I didn't know what to do. I didn't even know what a channel was. I thought it was something on a TV set. So John said, okay, Kim, all you've got to do is approach him and then just repeat what I'm sharing with you. Just listen telepathically and then just repeat it. That's all you've got to do. Listen, repeat. He says, you got that? And I was just shaking. I was so nervous. And I'm thinking, why am I doing this? This is crazy. John, I hate you. You're upending my life. And he said, your life was upended when I got here. I'm trying to help you fix it.
True, huh? So I
walked up to the guy and I said, hi, George, or whatever his name was. And I was shaking. He says, Miss O'Neill, are you okay? Are you feeling well? I said, I'm fine. And John says, okay, tell him his sister needs to go to the doctor in Florida. That's where she lives. That's what she needs to do. And John says, Kim, did you hear me?
No, they're cleaning the windows. You got to stop. It's distracting me. Could you go outside and ask them to stop? I'm sorry. They're cleaning windows here, and it's very distracting, so I'm trying to get their attention.
Oh, no, that's okay. I didn't know, Peter, I didn't know if you were signaling to me.
Sorry.
Enough with this story.
I'm trying to get their attention to tell this guy to stop. Like, he can do it in half an hour to clean the windows.
You know, Peter, it always happens. If you want a phone to ring, if you want windows to be cleaned, if you want somebody to say, hey, what's going on? Hey, where is it? Just start taping.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, at first we have squirrels that run along here. And so at first I thought it was the squirrels. But it is, you're
funny.
Right. It is unusual that, you know, right now would be when they're deciding to wash these auditorium windows. It could be any other time.
Right. Yeah. And everything happens for a reason, of course.
Now Kevin, should we jump back in or should we wait till, is that resolved?
Yeah, sorry about that.
That's okay. That stuff happens.
So we're about 20 minutes in.
Okay. So we got about 5 more minutes. But you're probably going to have to edit whatever just happened.
That's true.
Yeah.
There's some good questions there.
Yeah. Good. So let's pick it up there. So John, you would say, is he your guardian angel? Is he one of your main? And is he still working with you?
No.
No.
John moved on. Once I got with the swing of what I was born to do and I understood what my life's work was, he came into my life to help me reconnect with my angels. And then, because kids are so open, kids are completely connected. Mm-hmm. Kids are the best channels in the world.
Yeah.
So once he helped me do that and he helped me start working on issues I had, like the anger and the fear and all of that was definitely holding me back from even trying to figure out who I was and where I was and what I had learned. You know, every time we, of course, stating the obvious, every time we work through a difficult issue or a series of issues, we become a different person. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, you know, I'll be in session with someone and they'll say, gosh, I'm so upset. You know, I had this kind of marriage, or I had that kind of health condition, or I had this jerky boss at work. I'll say, well, let's ask your angels about what you've learned and how much further ahead you are now from all of that happening, because you're a different person. And then we can ask what you've earned spiritually. Mm-hmm. So I think it's wonderful if we have an idea of not only why we're here and where we should be going, but what kind of opportunities we've earned through this really hard work. Mm-hmm. So it's doing hard work, getting the spiritual rewards, doing the work, getting the rewards. And sometimes the rewards are about serving other people, or it doesn't mean it's a new car or necessarily.
Well, it reminds me of, you know, Edgar Cayce, when people would come to him and they were at that moment in their life where they're going through a divorce, the money problems, the kids are acting up, when they would get the reading, it would oftentimes be, what a wonderful spiritual time. You are growing so much. You're really doing your soul work. And then sometimes people would come where, oh, I think I'll get a reading and everything's going fine. And Cayce would say, you're kind of parking it. You know, you gotta start looking for more growth opportunities. So I always say the ego wants a piña colada, and then the soul is here to work. And so there's that conflict, like the ego doesn't like the soul work, and the soul is kind of thinks the ego is wasting time. So it seems to me when you got your awakening, it was right in that, you know, crisis of the soul or dark night of the soul that John came in and he helped you really kind of reconnect. I would guess that it was purposeful. You know, it sounds to me, just interpreting that, you know, you came in kind of like an angel for your parents. You came in really to kind of hold space, loving space for them. And, you know, a lot of children in that situation would not turn out like you did. You know, that you had something much more than what your environment was providing for you. And I think that you developed a tremendous amount of compassion, which helps you do the work that you do.
Peter, thank you so much. Thank you for that wonderful acknowledgement. I know I was supposed to be a teacher for my parents. And I was there, certainly ready, willing, and able.
Yes.
Able as much as a child could be, but it was such a wonderful learning experience for me. And one of the things they taught me was that I didn't want a life like theirs. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want dead-end jobs I hated. I didn't want a relationship like theirs. I didn't want to be like my mom, living in fear.
Yeah.
And then just sweeping everything under the rug. So I learned so much about what I didn't want. And sometimes that's the way that we start formulating what we do want and who we are.
Yes, it's you know, when I look at reincarnation and kind of soul work, it's like when we look at Buddha, you know, here Buddha, we think, you know, he found the way out of suffering. But if you look at what he seeded in his pre-life planning, his mother mm-hmm. died shortly after his birth. So he had birth suffering, and then lo and behold, he transforms that suffering into finding the way out. So I think a lot of times, you know, kind of what you came in to experience kind of became the energy or the emotion for you to do the work, and then to take it not just personally, but then to take it collectively. So proud, honored with your work.
Oh, thank you. There's no fun if it isn't collective.
Yes. Well, yeah. I think we're living, you know, the Piscean to the Aquarian, I think, is moving from the individual to the collective. But we're going to have to wrap up soon. But there's one question I'd like to ask before we end. You know, Edgar Cayce talked how often we, and it's also, I guess, from scripture, that we entertain angels unaware. Do you think it's people that are taking on angelic roles, or is it actual angels that are manifesting here on Earth?
Oh, Peter, that's a wonderful question. Both. I think that we all have a crew, if you will, a team of guardian angels around us, but they convey information in so many different ways. Sometimes they materialize. Sometimes they will share messages with us through other people, mm-hmm. and not professional, you know, psychics or channels, but many other people, where we can often hear the same message from different sources and think, maybe there's something to that. So, and I do think that they are interacting on the earthly plane in physical form. And I've spoken with so many people who have said, Kim, I have to tell you my angel story. I saw him or I saw her. So yes. So it's a matter of us being open. And some folks, you know, talk about being a little bit fearful mm-hmm. about it. And what I, where I think that comes from is not that they don't believe angels exist. I think that a lot of folks, not that I know everyone in the universe, but a lot of folks believe possibly in angels. But I think folks, at least this is what is shared with me at my workshops, one of the things people are most concerned about is whether they are going to be able to hear and interpret the messages correctly. Mm-hmm. And that seems very daunting to them. And it's just a matter of listening because, you know, the dialogue we have going on inside of our, I believe, it's my belief.
Dialogue. I think I have a, you know, pentagologue. I'm glad I know which one's mine.
Well, that's key.
Yeah.
Hey, Peter, that sounds like a good class. Hey, I'll sign up.
Yeah. Well, before we wrap up, what's next for you? And I know you've been here several times here in Virginia Beach, and you'll be back soon. Tell us a little more about what you see going forward. What are you teaching currently? What will you be teaching perhaps next time you're here?
Okay. Well, the next time, thank you for asking. The next time I come, it's going to be to Virginia Beach. It's going to be sort of an accelerated angel masterclass.
Oh, nice.
And it's going to be full day. So I'm hugely excited about that. Of course, as I am anytime I get to interact with you guys, it's so amazing. But Peter, I'm also starting this brand new program called Spirit Smart. And you know, you've heard of Street Smart and Book Smart. Mm-hmm. This is Spirit Smart, where it's going to be this online community, not a membership. Anybody can join. Yeah. Anybody can watch. And I'm going to create videos that from interviewing people, but mainly where, you know, there's just a discussion about what's going on in the world, but from a spiritual perspective. But it isn't going to be a very serious, you know, esoteric program. I'd like it to be fun and engaging. So
is this going
to
be? So this is this going to be like a YouTube thing, or is it going to be like a
Yes.
So it's going to be videos and then discussion.
Yes.
Wow, and all for free.
Yes.
Well, aren't you special?
Yes. you know, I love classes and courses, but. I want to serve as many folks as possible. And so I think now people are so excited and interested in videos.
Very true.
They're alive.
Yes.
They're alive. It's different than just the written page.
Yes, it's
true. Which is what I've always done.
Yes. Yes, you pick up so much more with a visual. Well, Kim, it's been a delight to speak with you. I'm going to leave us wishing we could talk more, and I'm going to leave our audience eager and hopefully coming to hear you speak or going to your YouTube channel, reading one of your books. So thanks again for coming on, and I hope to see you soon.
Oh, thank you, Peter. Thank you. A pleasure anytime.
Thank you.